The Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes, and Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
Doing wonderful, guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are. I would love to get your thoughts on the San Francisco Giants hiring Tony Vitello. As many people have noted, it's the first time a manager with no professional experience is being hired, or a coach with no professional experience, I should say, is being hired as a Major League Baseball manager. Two questions for you. One, how do you think Tony Vitello will do in Major League Baseball? And two, how does this change the dynamic of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt baseball rivalry?
Well, it certainly does that, man. As far as the Tennessee Volunteers played with the attitude of Tony V, you know, and Vanderbilt played with the poise of Tim Corbin, you know, like that. That's what it was. It was the two coaches through their teams. I'm fascinated by this because I think we could see more of this at the NFL level moving forward. It hasn't translated very well college to pro, right? There's a different dynamic to it. But now with NIL and the fact that, I mean, the SEC is like the NFL version of college football. Like I think coaches now would fare better trying to make the jump up, having to deal with that type of element and the locker room-esque pay for play and all that stuff, you know, the business side of things. With that being said, Major League Baseball is a different beast. And, I can't wait to see how he reacts to some of these balls and strikes calls and how animated he gets in the dugout at the major league level, because they will run him fast. he's got a short fuse and a short temper, and he runs hot. Let's put it that way. I think that team will have an attitude. That team will play with a chip on its shoulder. That's for sure. I mean, he gets the most out of that. And I think he will do a great job in that clubhouse, but does it translate to the Major League Baseball game where he loses one game and he's distraught? I mean, I think it will take some getting used to for him, for sure. And I think that the timing and how long this took, I think it weighed on him. Absolutely. And I'm fascinated to see at the end of all of this, what the real storyline was with Tennessee trying to keep him, because in this era, guys, with the cap that you have for the athletic department, I mean, if you're a four sport university, the way Tennessee is, in terms of distribution of money, everybody's trying to grab what they can, the percentage of the cap, right? Like, it's hard to do. Tennessee's, you know, it's not like Georgia does this, football, and then everyone else. Tennessee's trying to do it at the highest level in that direction. Tons of fans are upset about it. I get it, but man, moving forward, I'm curious how many universities can pull off what Tennessee's trying to do, which is stay at a championship level at all of those sports.
I did enjoy this tweet from Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel yesterday. Quote, so Tennessee fans are making fake Giants fan accounts and sharing wild Tony Vitello edits and made up things to try to nuke San Francisco's pursuit of Vitello. We are in full unhinged territory on day four of Tony Watch. On brand for Vols fans, no?
Hey, man. I would be upset too, but at the same time, like, I'm intrigued by this. I can't wait to see this play out. I want to see more of this. Far too often, there's a lot of retreads in pro sports, and not just Major League Baseball, just everywhere. You know, I'm all for the guy that's a tier lower than the pros getting a chance to do this. Now, it's unusual to see it not work through the minors, you know, and work your way up through the club. But I mean, why not? There's a youth movement in sports right now. And we see it at the NFL level for sure, and we've seen it certainly with the Lakers and what they did with Reddick coaching. So now it's Major League Baseball's turn.
Hutton, how open, how wide, perhaps, is the path for Vanderbilt to make the college football playoff?
It's, I mean, we Chad and I discussed this today. If briefly consider this for me, hypothetically, it's a 16-team playoff, and they have the play-in weekend for the SEC, where you have the 3 versus 6 and the 4 versus 5. If Vanderbilt were to win, we're just looking at the standings. If they were to win the next 2 weeks, they're like the 2 or 3 seed right now in the SEC going into that weekend. If this were the 16-team playoff, now looking ahead, I mean, we could play the math game. I mean, it's they need to split Tennessee and Texas, and I think they can get Texas. I mean, Texas doesn't scare anyone the way that they did whenever we were looking at the schedule preseason. And this Vanderbilt team can play with anybody. They can play. They can match up with anyone in the trenches. That they are winning that battle week in and week out. It's commendable, because I mean, it's not just Pavia doing this. They are going toe to toe on the offensive and defensive fronts, which is something we just are not used to seeing. And that's the difference, really, in why they're able to sustain what they're doing. It's fun to watch. They score a lot of points. It's not really flashy, you know. It's not like they're going deep every play or doing things that you would see from some of the Tennessee offense or maybe what we're seeing in Missouri coming up. But this is they're just consistent. They're very well coached. They play with poise. They don't make the mental error that the self-inflicted problems that we see across rosters. That, I mean, you have to beat Vandy, you have to play a sound football game, because if not, yeah, you can get up 14-3 or 14-7 and look like you're going up 21-7. And before you know it, it's 31-21 at the end of the third quarter. The Commodores have the lead. It doesn't surprise me anymore. And they're going to be right there. They can be exactly where Bama and Ole Miss and South Carolina were a year from now, or a year ago, and actually make their case. And I think we'll be making that case for them, guys, because you're going to have a 2-loss Notre Dame team that's going to be trying to get into the college football playoff, and a 3-loss SEC team. I'm not trying to give Vanderbilt that yet, but man, it's going to be quite the storyline with all the teams that are bundled up together right now in the Southeastern Conference.
Now, Hub, before I ask you about UT, Florida, Billy Napier getting fired. Who do you think is the front runner? I'm looking at James Franklin. I was about to call him Jimmy Franks, but James Franklin.
Some people do refer to him as Jimmy Franks.
Exactly, yeah. I do at times.
Like that,
exactly, I know you don't, but I want to be respectful to him, so I will say I'm James Coach Franklin. Do you think he's the? Do you think one that Florida fired Napier, one because they didn't want to get fooled again, and he go on a run, and they end up having to keep him. But two, to get a jump start, because you look at James Franklin out there. He said he wants to coach again. He can't wait to coach again. But then now Lane Kiffin is being thrown in there.
Yep.
Do you think, one, is that some type of power play? Because both of those guys got the same agent. Is that a power play?
Yes. But, okay, so this – see if you agree with this.
Uh-huh.
Guys, weigh on this. Florida, to me, is not a James Franklin job.
Why is that?
They are going after someone to stir the pot the way Steve Spurrier did. Steve Spurrier is mentioning two names right now, Lane Kiffin and Eli Drinkwitz. Spurrier is saying that publicly. I think they're going after that. Now, there's a report out that they went after Marcus Freeman, and he immediately said no. I read that this morning. Chad sent that to me. With that in mind, they're going big, but Franklin to me is more Auburn than he is Florida. Does that make sense? It's I think from a Florida perspective, I think they're going back to the cocky, brash, out front, outspoken head coach. I think they're going to try to get something closer to Steve Spurrier than James Franklin, and that's also offensively what we saw at Penn State. That's not what they want in Gainesville offensively. They don't want to play conservative. They want to get back to what they were in the 90s, and that's okay. They don't view themselves as an 8-win football team. That's great. But I mean, there's not too many coaches, guys, where you just you circle it and you say, okay, this is the no brainer. Like, this is the proven winner. Penn State wants to go get a championship level coach. It's like, good luck. Like those guys don't really exist right now. Mm-hmm. There's like three. So like with keeping that in at the forefront, it's like, do you go with the up and coming coach that you're going to take a swing at? Well, they've already done that with Napier. I think they're going, and I think the next coach of the Gators is currently coaching in the SEC. I think it's mm-hmm. it's Kiffin or Drinkwitz. Then again, that's Spurrier on like podcasts saying he doesn't really want to get into it, but then he mm-hmm. names two names specifically.
Now, I think at the beginning, I don't know if it was either you or Chad that we discussed yeah. this with. If UT, considering what had happened in the offseason, you know, the spur of the moment, the coach, yeah. the quarterback transfer at the last minute. They swap quarterbacks, yep. basically. And people are looking at it as, man, if this team is 8-4, that's a good team, considering that's a good record, considering all that has happened. Now, we know yes. UT has started out really good. But looking at that Alabama game, they did show some wrinkles or some chink in their armor. They still yes. have Oklahoma left, who's ranked 13th, and they're getting their quarterback back. And then, obviously, we know how good Vandy has been. And Florida game is always that game, no matter what the deal is. It's going to be a tough game. Knowing the way UT started, the expectations at the beginning, would this still be a disappointing team season considering how they started? Or would it be a situation where, hey, listen, this is what we thought they were going to be anyway?
Well, I mean, I didn't expect him to be this. I didn't expect the quarterback to be a better fit from the jump. Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, I mean, I think everyone agrees that Aguilar's a better fit,
yes,
than Nico. So, with Heupel,
and now Nico's winning too at UCLA.
Well, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true. And just seeing what we've seen, like. And you know, Heupel's had some game management things go on. Like there are. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose. But let me put it this way: it's mm-hmm. not like Tennessee's going out and losing every game. It 8-4 preseason. You're like, yeah, man. If you could just like get things settled at quarterback, mm-hmm. that no coach wants to go through this and have to like speed rush everything with the install. But I said at the time, this is not a mulligan year for Heupel. He said this at SEC Media Days. It's not like anyone's going to feel sorry for them. And it's a lot like what we saw last year at Alabama. You know, like I was hearing from donors and boosters. They're like, oh, you know, we're okay taking our lumps with, you know, DeBoer's coming in. And then he gets his recruiting going. We'll take a year and then we'll go. No. At the end of the year, they're talking about whether or not they want to make a change. Mm-hmm. There is no mulligan year in the Southeastern Conference. So, you know, it's not like Heupel's getting fired. But you take advantage of what's in front of you at any given moment. So, you know, not every 8-4 is created equal. Mm-hmm. And since Tennessee reached number one and we saw them at that pinnacle, they at number one in the SEC last year, they've been 10-5. So how do you take that? If you're a Vols fan, you want to beat Oklahoma. There are certain things down the path, but I mean the Georgia game was fantastic. I mean, that was just a blast to watch. And you're right. There are some issues that they have to get a grasp of that we saw play out in Alabama. But I mean, I didn't see hear from many Vols fans that thought they were winning that game.
I'd love to get to your thought on the play before the end of the half. Cause I watched it back cause I couldn't watch the game live. Yeah. The Predators were playing. I watched the full game back, but I already knew who won, right? I knew how the game ended.
Sure.
But I'm asking myself, if they cash it in there and don't have that enormous 14-point swing, what happens in the second half? Because I'm very impressed with Alabama's personnel.
Me too.
What I keep saying is, how in the world, what happened against Florida State? Because they look like they've got it.
I know.
They're moving in the right direction now. So tell me what you think happens in the second half if they cash it in.
I think Tennessee's going toe-to-toe, but I still think Bama wins just based on quarterback play. Man, it's something about Ty Simpson, man. He's outstanding. He looks like a pro quarterback playing college.
Yes.
He looks like a rookie in the NFL. But without taking the lumps. He's just in command. He looks like Jaden Daniels. You know, like he's comfortable in that system. It's perfect for him. And, you know, I think, you know, just a side note, sidebar. I mean, he and Pavia are what's great about what we love about college football. Like one stuck it out in the NIL era and waited for his turn and he's maximized it. and the other worked his way to where he is and had opportunities to leave and didn't for Vanderbilt. I commend both guys. I think both have a great shot at the Heisman Trophy, and that's how I differentiate the game in the second half right there, Willie, is quarterback play. No different, really, than what we saw in the Tennessee-Georgia game. You know, the fourth down call, the number one, to be able to make the call, but then to execute the play for the touchdown that we saw for the Bulldogs. I get the sense Alabama's making that play this year. And you're right, man. I don't know how they ended up playing as bad as they did with the quarterback talking trash about their defense. Castellanos talking trash this offseason about Bama, and they still won that game. FSU did. It's interesting. And hey, I mean, Tennessee, I don't know. There have been like clock management things and play calls, other things where Heupel's been questioned. And I think that.
So tell me what you thought of that play. Cause McElroy, I think, was the guy doing the game, right? He was saying that the formation gave away the play.
Gave away, it was going to be a pass.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying that, and there's, you know, time on the clock where it was. And where they were on the field. I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, we saw what happened with the swing and the pick. So, yeah. I mean, it was a great read. It was just a great read, too, by the defense.
It was a bad pass. You know? It was a bad pass.
Oh, it's a bad pass. But if it's in front of them,
it's a touchdown. Though. Yeah.
But it was, hey, it was a bad pass. But the anticipation, I mean, that you can tell they were ready for that. Mm-hmm. And if it's pass all the way, I mean – yeah, I mean, that's smart football by Alabama. They're prepared for that moment.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday. It's not Monday. I don't know what day it is. Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. The Colts have a league-high 34 red zone trips this season, and they average 33 points per game.
Okay, Hutton, give me one name. Who replaces Tony Vitello as the baseball coach? Any idea? Any idea?
No.
I don't either.
No clue.
They don't get you.
I didn't know if there was a name circulating that is off the staff.
No, I mean, in studio today, the guys are just talking about just they want to elevate from, you know, from within, I guess. I mean, from within the program. But, I mean – that's the thing about Willie. If you don't know, I don't know when it comes to college baseball.
Also, are you taking the Colts minus 14 and a half on Sunday?
Double the spread.
Oh.
Okay. We'll see.
Who are we kidding?
We'll see. Hutton, thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks. And I'm not looking forward to hearing from Chris Sanders, a.k.a. Little Bill. We'll talk to Chris Sanders and Hal Gill as part of Silly Underdog Picks. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.